Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakening with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Awakenings. I'm your host, Michelle Mache. Oh, happy Wednesday, everyone. Hello, everyone that's getting into the chat room. And, of course, hello, everyone listening via iTunes later and, of course, the archives. My chat room, which are also my co-pilots, co-hosts, and sound engineers, let me know how the sound is. Doing a bit differently, different setup on the sound these days, so I want to make sure that it's better. Some of you know we had some technical difficulties with VTR, and such is life, right? But getting better with the sound. If you'd like to call in for a question or a comment, you can call in at 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122, and press 1 on the keypad. That lets me know you want to get on air. Lets me know you want to chat and want to say hello and want to say hey. Got a great program today. We're going to dive into some email questions. Got a couple of questions on dreams. Many of you know I'm trained in dream analysis, Jungian style dream analysis, as well as have studied also. Someone coming in the chat saying hello. Stefan Kaplan Williams studied with him as well. So we're going to dive into that, get to questions. And if you ever have questions or comments or guest suggestions, topic suggestions, you can always email me at awakenings@selfinlight.com or awakeningsradio.com. And hello, Elmar in the chat. I see you, KTBQ. Welcome, guests. Callers on the line, just to let you know, if you did have a question or a comment, press 1 on the keypad, and that'll get you in queue. And again, that number is 347-539-5122. Lots of questions lately about dreams, and I think that's, you know, always around the full moon. People, you know, a lot of times can't sleep, or your sleep pattern can be lighter. But there has been more, I would say we call it dream activity of late. And, you know, dreams are messages from our soul is a way to look at it. It's really that aspect of us, that higher aspect or more expanded aspect of us that is trying to get through to us. Usually, one of my teachers said it's usually your next step. You know, so the dreams can be messages from the soul, you know, or other aspects of you. What is your next step? What do you need to be working on? They also have to do with kind of hatching through the day. You know, we're all meant to kind of process, you know, our day or our week or whatever we're learning or we're focusing on. You know, Einstein used to do a lot of his work and then go take a nap and kind of just daydream. And then his flashes of insight would come through or, you know, his answers. So you can program your dreams as well. You can think of something that you're, you know, working on or perhaps something that you want to know and then either writing it down or just before going to sleep, you know, ask, oh, I want insight on this, or I want information on this, or I want guidance on this. I mean, you're really doing it to a higher aspect of you, not to anything or anyone outside of you, but it's the part of you that's what we call beyond the local mind, that's connected to the non-local mind. It's the part of you that is into, you could say, universal consciousness or awareness or that innate intelligence of the all that is. Or the morphogenic fields. You can say you're tapping into that. And we do anyway. It's interesting. We do tap into that throughout the day. We always are tapping into that. But, you know, by our everyday surroundings and focus, you know, of to-dos and tasks and, you know, driving the kids to school or, you know, going to work or, you know, accounting or whatever, all those tasks that we do, kind of being in the beta realm, kind of, sorry, this kind of message, kind of block, I guess, kind of block us from receiving that insight. And, yeah, okay, just had an email question come in, actually another question about dreams. So, yeah, you can email me at awakenings@selfandlight.com. My assistant will forward it to me, or you can just tweet it or put it on the Facebook, and I'll get it as well. So we block that higher insight, but we're just not as receptive to it, and that's why things like meditation are great, because that, or really daydreaming. You know, I tell a lot of my clients, you need to just couch potato more. You just need to daydream more. You need to have some unstructured time, unstructured space to come in. And a lot of my artist friends or the artists that I work with always say the same thing. You know, whether it's between, you know, out, they don't cram. You know, at projects, they'll allow there to be some space. They'll allow there to be some downtime. Or they will go into another artistic expression, you know, with music or, you know, painting, drawing, writing, so something that they're not taxing that one part unduly. And many of us, that's what we do. We kind of tax our kind of our beta mind, the logical mind, the analytical mind. We overtax that with sometimes overthinking, overanalyzing, instead of letting the what, you know, what's coming from the incident to come through. Sometimes we can't figure something out logically, analytically. Some things are beyond our rational mind. They're beyond the ego state of consciousness. So, and as many of you've heard me say before, it's not that the ego is bad or wrong. You know, the personality. It's just that it can only hold so much. It's like your computer, you know, only has so much random access memory. It only has what you program it to have, right? And what the applications that are on there. So sometimes you need to go beyond your everyday applications to get your insight, to get your awareness, to know what your next focus is or your next step is. And so programming, again, the mind to be receptive to this is you first have to ask the question. First have to be aware of, okay, what do I want to do, or what do I want to work on, or what do I want to draw in, or what do I want to manifest, or what do I need to focus on? Or maybe there's parts of your life that are not, you know, so much in alignment right now, or there's blocks, or perhaps you feel something new in. You know, like when I feel something new coming in, I work with a mentor, a teacher, and I'm open to, you know, I have some great friends that are very honest with me, that I can ask their opinion. And then I always kind of say, I tune in and say, what is my next step? Or why am I blocked here? Am I meant to go in a different direction? Or I feel the new direction coming in. And many of you have been hearing me talk about that for a while, that you can feel something happen, you know, the change. You know, change is kind of like a deep river. You know, before it comes upstream, that river is also, it's underground. And sometimes it's a geyser, right? It's really wild. Sometimes it's going to be huge change. But instead, you know, a lot of times what people do when they start feeling things change, they right away want to do what they can to stop the change. And I think you can always do a little bargaining. You know, you can know something is changing. You can reinforce where you're at. I'll give you an example. I have a client right now who's going through a lot of change and is actually making major change right now. They're going through personal change, but also career change, and feeling that the contract for the job was going to be over, you know, that they were going to lose the job, that it was going to be moving on. And they're like, you know, I have all these expenses and got kids, and I can't do this. They're like, I can't do this. And so this is happening. It is happening. You're sensing that this is going to happen, you know, and you've even heard people say things, and you can feel. And also you've been wanting to make a change because they're wanting to take their skill set and move in another direction. So instead, rather than saying, I don't want this to happen, I don't want this to happen, and kind of, you know, close your eyes, embrace yourself, and I don't want this to happen, I don't want this to happen, this can't happen, all the reasons why this can happen is, you know, not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but looking and saying,
I think this is happening. I can feel something else coming in. I can feel a new direction. I can feel changes at my workplace. And prepare for that. You know, start putting things in place. In fact, is what she did start doing. And lo and behold, she did get notice that her contract will be done in, I think, 2 months or towards the close of the year. So what that means is she was right. Her intuition was right that there was this change that was going to be taking place. And it also, in her own mind, was something that she was wanting anyway. So rather than just say, this can't happen, she went out and started actively seeking, you know, other employment and looking at other options. And actually what she's going to do, because she thought, oh, I need to get into something that is, you know, more conventional or more mainstream. I need to get another quote-unquote job. I need to, you know, because I don't want this to happen again. But what she actually found out that it was actually better and more in alignment with what she wants to ultimately do, to take more contract work and to trust that the contract work will continue to be there. And if not, that she can trust her intuition to get her, you know, more work or know if she has to leave beforehand or that something is coming by. So I kind of look at her intuition as a weather report. If you see that it's going to rain, you know, you have free will choice. You can bring an umbrella. You can bring a baseball cap. You know, you can bring a poncho, a raincoat, or you can just wear a sweater. You can go out in shorts and a T-shirt. You know, it's up to you. That's where your free will choice comes in. However, you've got that weather report. It depends what do you want to do with it. What do you want to do with what the messages that you're receiving? And on that note, whatever you're receiving intuitively, your higher self, if you will, that expanded aspect of your consciousness, the part of you that's beyond duality, is not going to have you do something that is very irrational. There will be steps. Even if on the outside people think, oh, my God, you're leaping, or it's a leap of faith, there will have been steps along the way. And it's like for me, hey, callers, I'm not sure if you wanted to question or comment, but those that are in the queue, press 1 on the keypad, and that'll let me know that you want to get heard, that you want to get on air, and we'll be getting the callers. It's like for me when I went back to school, one of the times I went back to school in Europe, in England, I left everything. I left, you know, I was modeling and acting. I had that going. And then I had my intuitive practice, my healing practice. I was doing a lot of charity work, doing a lot of benefits and stuff and volunteer work. And I had a great life. It was very, very fulfilling. But I kept getting this message I really wanted to take myself out and work on myself more and retrain, study more. And I had this great opportunity to move to England, pretty much expenses paid and with a little bit of money coming in that I could take off because I had saved all this money from, you know, modeling and acting that I didn't have to worry about funds. And so I said yes. I would say yes and then I think about it. So I said yes. And then I thought, let me feel it out. Let me see how it would work. And I said, well, I'd have to come ahead of time. I can't just agree to leave for a few years. And I did. I went. I looked and started meeting a bunch of people, set things up. I think I was there a month. When I came back, I gave the show that I was working with notice. And I ended up working there anyway. I ended up having a lot of clients anyway, and some of my clients from the States who I worked with. And then I also did some TV work there as well, some music videos. So it all worked out anyway. But I had so many people, even some of my teachers, saying, oh, you know, it takes so long to build this up. You're crazy. What are you doing? I just had a lot of naysayers, a lot of interference, if you will. And they said, what are you going to do? And I said, look, I'm not just jumping. Because some people were like, oh, you're just going to drop everything and, you know, move to Europe. And I said, no, I'm not dropping everything. I already went ahead of time and set things up and saw, can I go to school here? What would it take? Where can I live? You know, what's around me? And there were some friends of mine from my modeling days that had moved there. So I ended up getting in touch with them, met other people there. People came and visited me. So it all worked out. And then when I came back to the thing, it didn't take a while to get going again. I mean, it did. It took a while to build up again. But my clients were there. The show, anyway, got restructured. They were going to put two more hosts in with me. I would have had to, you know, share my gig, so to speak. And so that got scrapped. When I came back, I ended up doing correspondent work for the show, and the show picked up again, not the same way, but everything was recreated anyway. And I guess why I'm sharing this story to you is that, to me, in my experience and what I've learned from my teachers, is that it's to listen to the intuition, it's to listen to the messages that come through in our dream, to listen to that inner guidance, but to also bring it into some kind of practicality. Because that's a form of guidance also. So whatever your messages that you're receiving, if you think you're being asked to do something that you wouldn't necessarily normally do, and I don't mean we have to all stretch ourselves, we have to think differently and, you know, grow. But if it's something where you with wild abandon, let's just sell everything and go backpack around the world, that's not really coming from the higher self. Unless there's steps there, there'll always be something concrete or practical. Yes, you'll have to take a leap of faith. Yes, you'll have to perhaps stretch yourself a bit or grow or maybe go into the unknown. But those supports will be there. The way to do it will be there. You know, the guidance will somehow be there. Maybe not always in the form that you think you want or you do want, but there will be that there. We're going to get to a couple email questions, and then listeners, if you do have a question or comment, go ahead and I will I'll connect with you. If you just want to say hey or chat or whatever, also, I'll also get you. Well, I'm going to change my mind. Let's get to callers. Let's see what's happening. Okay, again, that call-in number for those of you that are perhaps listening via the Internet or whatever means, or you're in the chat, that call-in number is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad. That lets me know you want to get on air. Hi, 310-429. Welcome to Awakenings. You're on air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Michelle, I've been listening to your show weekly, and I just have to tell you, you're so amazing, and you've completely changed my life.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. Can I get a first name?
It's Lori.
Lori. Oh, great. Great. So how are you doing these days?
I'm doing really good. I'm calling in with a question because I feel like I've really been applying a lot of the stuff that you've talked about, and I've watched my life shift so much, and my career's exploded, and I feel really whole and complete as a person, and I just feel like I want to share my life and all this with somebody, and I'm just kind of like, it's the one little thing that everything else is going so well, I just would love that partner, and I'm just wondering if there's something blocking, or do you see that happening, or what's going on with that? Okay.
I love these kind of questions. And especially, I love these kind of questions, especially for people that say that their life is together. You know, it's like they're not waiting to be rescued. You know, it's like.
No, I mean, I'm so impassioned and on my soul path. And, like, I feel like you really helped me connect to that. You know, I go on your website and a lot of the things, the work that you've shared, I've done. And it's really helped me. And I just feel like now that I'm kind of, like, in this passion and this purpose, I have so much I want to share with somebody, and I just, you know, don't want to really, you know, I've been doing it alone for so long, and now it's just, you know, I'd like to bring somebody else in. So.
Well, I hear you about that on the sharing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's like you're sharing from a fullness. Okay, so tuning in, I do see someone around you already that I feel is kind of a you may be thinking, could it be this person, or could this person, can we grow together? Okay.
Uh-huh.
I do feel actually there can be somebody else around January, February as well. But I think this person is going to be in the running. But I do feel that
the one that's around me now.
Yeah, and there seems like there could be another person coming in, not just the one that you're
I feel like you're in a dating relationship now that has potential, has possibility. Mm-hmm. They're kind of deciding, you know, and I don't know if you heard me earlier, but I was talking about where our free will is. You know, a lot of times we're destined to connect with people, and people think, mm-hmm. oh, my God, it's fated, it's destiny. And it's like, yeah, it's destined. The connection is free will choice. People can say, oh, I don't want to do this, or this is too much for me, or I can't do this, or
mm-hmm.
they're not up to it. But what I can say, because I do believe so much is left up to us, you know, within our cycles, like there are times, well, no matter what you do, you're not going to meet someone because that's not the cycle you're in. You know, it might be personal, you know, working on oneself, growth, development. It might be career cycle. Then there are those people that really want the career, and it's all about relationship for them, you know. So, again, it's about aligning to our personal cycle. I feel uh-huh. for you, the next cycle that's coming in is going to be a lot about balancing the inner and the outer, the personal and the public, or personal, you know, and career, or relationship and career. So uh-huh. I feel this guy, and I can actually see the name who's coming in. There's going to be a dark-headed guy around you as well. I don't know if the first guy has dark hair.
Yes, this guy has dark hair, but I don't like
oh,
dark hair.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Wow, he's really showing up then. I do see him really showing up.
Mm-hmm.
I do see him really showing up, and you might think he's not going to. There's water. I don't know if he's a water sign, but I get a lot of does he have a pool by any chance? I know that sounds weird. But
yeah, he does, and he's Pisces.
Because I see, there's the water, too. Okay, it's water sign, mm-hmm. and then I see him a lot by the pool, and he has some kind of party or something going on, somebody's birthday party, might even be his own. I can see lights out, people, and you will attend that. You're going to be making decisions, I don't know. I can't say for sure timing-wise because I hear February, March, and then I also hear April, May.
Mm-hmm.
However, I feel before the close of the year, you'll meet someone else that's a potential that has a New York, L.A. connection, probably back and forth for work. And then
mm-hmm.
another guy, the one I feel the first one besides, I'm going to call him T because I see the initial T.
That's his first name. That's so crazy. The first name begins with a T. You're so good.
Yeah.
I've called him before and even right on. That's why I called in. So I had a,
He's going to be around and there's going to be another guy that's kind of iffy. And then there's going to be another guy, next year, February, March, is which I feel you'll have the choice whether he wants to
mm-hmm.
go forward or not. If he doesn't, uh-huh. I feel you guys will remain friends.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he truly, truly does care about you and is into you.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is, and you're by the way, you're going to be so busy next year. There's a lot with travel around you with your career as well, and a lot to do with writing and getting your message and your work out there more. So I feel for you that right now he's really the one in the running, and there's some changes that he needs to make to decide, do I want to take this on? You know, relationship's a big thing. I mean, you know, it's
uh-huh.
something we have to decide. Do we want to, the honeymoon period gets over. And by the way, the more that you can be upfront with people in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
the more conscious that relationship is going to be, you know. So everybody out there, stop hiding your stuff. Just be as you are. If you blow up, whatever, you are what you are, you are, you know. It's just better, you're just going to be more conscious if that happens sooner than later than cramming everything, you know.
Right.
And then letting it explode in a year. But I feel you're in a solid, you know, you're in a dating relationship now. You're open to that partner. You're dating other people lightly. And I feel like
uh-huh.
you're also in a transformative time, but it does show that there will be choices. In other words, by values, principles, and beliefs, who is the best person for you, you know, and are you the best person for them, coming to a mutual decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely do see you, you know, sharing your life with someone. And you're doing it already, I feel, with other guys, you know, friends, family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel that you have a lot of friends around you and male or female, whatever, but I feel like next year is when it really gets solidified, you know, and you'll kind of know towards the close of the year as well, you know.
Okay.
But I like him. I like him.
because he's trying. That's all any of us can do, right? We can only try and only try to.
Right. Okay.
You know,
and then you
but it's
going to
be a conscious choice. I think there's going to be two others, and one in particular I feel will be, you'll be weighing things. Because I feel there's a couple things this guy needs to do or shift to kind of decide on. And if he can't or chooses not to, you know, sometimes he can't. Sometimes their timing is off, too. I will just tell you, if he can't do it, you guys will remain friends. And about a year later, he will be working on himself and contact you and say, you know, I wish I could have done this sooner. He's close. He's so close, Lori, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's
depending not only on your timing but his timing. But that's what you guys are together. And I feel he's a hoot. I feel like you can have a lot of fun with him.
Yeah, we do. We do. Yeah. Okay, that's so helpful. Thank you.
Cool.
So
thanks
like
for
nothing,
calling in.
There's nothing, there's nothing blocking or anything. It's just a matter of...
Oh, no. It's timing with you. Timing, baby.
Okay.
Timing with you.
Okay.
Woo! Yeah, timing. No.
Okay, good.
You're so ready. You've done the work. It's just, it is already happening. You are in a relationship. You know, that's the thing. You're dating.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, truth be told, we're in relationship to everything and everyone all the time. It's just what kind of relationship. So you are dating.
Right.
I feel like there's a consistent dating situation happening.
We
just want to get it to that next level, like, hey, let's just be partners now. Let's be exclusive, you know. And that's for everyone, you know, just allow yourself, right? So I hear you.
Right.
But that'll come. That's next year. And it'll come organically. It'll be there.
Yeah, like I don't want to push this guy, and I haven't. I'm just like, he's either going to show up or not, and I'm just being open and kind of focusing on my life and being open to him, but also, moving forward, not holding the train back at the station.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah, the train is going.
Awesome. Michelle, you're great. I keep doing what you're doing because I'm telling you, I just listen, you know, I'll sit here and listen to you, and I just really resonate with what you say, and it's really gives me a different perspective, and I really take a lot of it into my work and into my life and really apply a lot. So you've really helped me, so thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And thanks for calling in because that's what makes Awakening what
thank
it is.
You.
Okay. All of us.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. Good
okay.
Bye. Okay. I'm going to do a couple more callers, then see if we can get to, I kind of got off on a little tangent here of the dreams here. Okay. Hi, 206-459, you're on Awakenings Radio.
Hi, Michelle. This is Kate.
Hey, Kate. Welcome. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great to talk to you again.
Cool.
I am wondering about kind of where to focus my time, I guess, where to focus my energies with my time. It's kind of quiet right now. It's kind of calm before the storm of the next big, busy time. And I'm feeling kind of anxious. So part of me, I just want to get the next job or find the next thing. But maybe I should just take advantage of this quiet time for
there's
cleaning
your
out things.
You already called it.
You know.
But see, there you go. I love this when this happens. Because so much of what a reading is about, psychically, intuitively, is a lot of times it's confirmation with people.
Yeah.
You just said it. You take this time. You know, we get kind of paranoid. We freak out about the space. And I know I've been there. You know, I think I was talking about it a couple weeks ago. But the space is to prepare for that, just what you said, the next big thing, and clean out the closets, do whatever. You do whatever you need to do. So that's your own intuition telling you. That's your higher guidance, inner directive, higher self. I would follow that because I'm feeling, in fact, it's showing a lot to do with you financially, things doing better is what I'm actually seeing. So, but it also says to also look at yourself, your values, principles, beliefs, yourself as a resource. So there might be some new areas that you are going to be forging through, going through, or maximizing more in your potential is what I'm hearing. But also, don't be afraid to take that downtime. Is that true? Is that what you're doing?
Well, I want to work more towards my own business. I mean, I've kind of do it already under the table, but I want to make it more official.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's taking that big step of, but the financial part of everything, I kind of, not reject isn't the right word, but the business part of the business, I don't have any, like the social part, the clients, the marketing, the project management, I've got that down. But, you know, the taxes, the, you know, that paperwork.
Yeah.
Accounting.
Well, you know what? Find somebody, even if it's on a I help you, you help me basis. Find someone. Do what you can. I mean, those are not great for me. I give my receipts and stuff to my brother. I used to be better at it, I'll be honest, but I'm horrible at it, and I don't like it. Some people enjoy it, you know.
Exactly.
And I have a good friend of mine. He's like, I don't mind it. Oh, my brother told me that. He's like, oh, Michelle, it's not a big deal. He did the spreadsheet for me. He's like, you can do it weekly. We had 1 week, but to the next week. And finally, you know, and I pay him. I don't have to pay him very much. And I said, you know what? You like doing this. You crank it out for your business. I can't do it. And it's weird. I used to be able to, and I didn't mind it, and I was on top of it. But for whatever reason, that's not the case anymore. So I wouldn't beat yourself up about it. I would just do what you can, the best you can, and just intend that you're either going to have the funds to pay somebody. And there's things, people do these things online even. There's this Fiverr, I think FIVRR.com, where it's very inexpensive to pay people, you know, to do stuff like this. There's things, people doing this kind of work online now where, it's Fiverr.com, FIVERR.com.
Okay.
And look at, there's other services. I'll try to ask one of my friends, he's a techie, and he paid someone to come over clean and moved up in his house. He paid somebody for extra paperwork, and it was really inexpensive. Some of them, the jobs could be as little as like $15. So, I would just go forward. I wouldn't, you know, try not to stress on it or do some journal writing. You know, what do you fear? What's blocking? You know, keep calling into the show. We can, you know, chat about. I can tune in for you on it. But just follow that inner directive. You know, not everybody that has their own business is great in those areas either. You know, so I wouldn't let that stop you or be the cause, because there is help out there, whether affordable help or just getting someone to, you know, like doing an exchange.
Right.
With someone to help you. All right, Kate, thanks for calling in.
All right, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Hey. All right, should we get you another caller? Yeah, why not? 818-421, welcome to Awakening.
Hi, Michelle, it's Sadie.
Hey, Sadie, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I was calling.
Good to hear your voice.
I was calling to see, there was an avenue that opened up that I might possibly be able to have a horse out of my aunt's house, and that's one of the energies that I've really been connecting in with as of recently and wanting to bring back into my life.
Right.
But everything keeps falling apart, and I don't know if it's really going to matter because I'm driving myself crazy, like looking at things, running around. And I don't know, I guess I'm just, I don't know. I'm just calling this
okay.
to see a horse coming in out of my aunt's house or, okay.
Okay, the first thing I think I'm getting intuitively is, like, just let it unfold a bit. It seems like it's going to take a little bit longer, and it might be Sag time, which is more November, December, end of November, December. Also, no, we're in a retrograde. So right now is a great time to think about this, to kind of analyze it, to weigh the pros and the cons, and also do your research, right?
Okay,
retrograde brings, you know, the RE, redoing, reevaluate, renew, refresh. Are you feeling some like strings attached to this situation?
A little bit, because it would be up in my aunt's house, and her house has a lot of people that come in and out, you know, her daughter's friends, my cousin, and her kids.
So she basically mm-hmm. was like, you know, you're going to have to share this horse. And I'm like, well, I never said it was going to be mine. It's, you know, it's going to be at your house and you're paying to keep it here and all that. Like, you said that you wanted to get a horse so everybody could ride. I'm just kind of helping mm-hmm. you out. And she got a little weird. I'm like, I'm
yeah,
okay.
I feel like
I just...
some of my strings. It's a little sticky. That's why I'm asking. It feels like there's something sticky, like
yeah.
expectations. You know, you got to do what you feel right for you. But I would say intuitively, psychically,
right.
my little beeper is going off, and it's like, if she wants to get the horse, I wouldn't split. Are you thinking about splitting it financially?
Well, we were going to put in some of it. It started out to where she said, like, why don't you find a horse for you and Syra? Yeah.
My perception would be, what I'm getting is I would let her buy the horse and you help with the upkeep if you want to ride it. In other words, because I feel you're going to, you know, get in a little bit of world of hurt if you split the cost of the horse, which is pricey, and you're paying for the upkeep. I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like she could, number one, I feel like she could say certain things and then change her mind. Or, so-and-so is writing tomorrow. Or took the, have you seen it already? Yeah. So use your wisdom self that's already had some experiences
okay.
with this person. My perception is it would be much easier, more cut and dry, let her buy the horse because she's got people living there and visiting there that are going to want to play with the horse and do whatever. And your exchange for riding the horse can be helping with food or the maintenance. You know, you have to brush the horse.
Pick up food.
I don't know what you have to do with
stuff.
The horse. You know, my family had a horse ranch in Texas, in Texas. We had a horse ranch. But I've only been on horses very little. I mean, I'm so bad with them. I was like, even walking behind them. So that just tells you what I don't know a lot about horses. But I figure there's like, as far as I remember, there was brushing them. What else? Feeding them. You got
yes,
to exercise them.
Yes,
right. So I would
okay,
say...
Okay, so that's kind of everything that
clean.
I was feeling.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, another confirmation.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely
okay,
do that.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I was... Okay.
Yeah, you're on the right track.
Good. All right.
Cool.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Yeah.
Bye.
Clean, you know, when you guys, we all get that little vibe, just a little vibe of what's going to happen. And, hey, 928-613, you're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hi, you're on air.
Yes, hi, my name is Delfina.
Delfina?
Elfina.
Elfina. Hi, Elfina. Did you have a question or a comment?
Hi. Yeah, I have a question. I'm wondering if it would be the right decision for me to relocate. I'm in a relationship right now. It's long distance, and he can't necessarily just, like, pack his bag and move down here. So I'm wondering if it would be, I guess, kind of like the right decision for me to go there.
Now, for some reason, as soon as you were talking, I started tuning in. I got some financial concerns or second house in the chart. So kind of values, principles, am I on the same page with this person? Am I in alignment? It's saying to kind of wait and see. And then as you're asking the question, the first thing I want to ask you is, did he ask you to come?
Yes, he did. He said it would be, he thinks that it would be, like, better for me to go out there since he doesn't know when he'll be able to come out this way. But I told him that I wasn't going to, you know, stay there for forever. You know, like, I'll be there for a while, then we can – well, the main plan is for us to come back here to where I live, so.
Okay, but the only thing is I heard, I told him I'm not going to be out there forever and it'd be better for us to, after a while, move. I really feel you got to get – clear with this guy the before you do the move and have him ask you, not I think it would be better for you to come over. Think about it like you're going to somebody's house for dinner.
Oh, no, he knows that. Like, he knows, like, ultimately, like, I want to move back here, and he agreed to it. But it's just I'm not certain as to maybe, like, a year or two, he has to stay where he's at now. So it's
Here's the thing, sweetie. I'm really getting, you got to get clear with him. I feel he needs to be a little more in the game. I feel like you're really kind of taking charge. And just hear me out, because, you know, I don't have any vested interest in this, but I think he actually has to say, I would like you to come out here and have him make an active part, maybe even helping you look, or he starts looking.
That's something that he's done already. He's been looking, I guess, at apartments and things, so it's kind of like he does want me to go, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. You know, like, I'm not, I just don't want to go out there and, you know, have it be a complete, like, failure. So it's kind of hard. So for that reason,
well,
I'm wondering if it...
I feel you've got to listen to your gut. Something... See, sometimes when I start picking up something psychically, and I've even had this happen myself, we're not ready to look at something. That's why it's psychic or intuitive. It's something down in the future. And sometimes the psychic, when you get a detached, you know, because our emotions block our psychic ability. I have the same thing. I could be, I'm a razor sharp accuracy, but as soon as my emotions are involved, it's out. So that's why I get confirmations on things that I'm picking up. You know, or I'm in my own life, I have to wait and see. You know, you can't know everything 100%. But I don't feel with you that it's like the excited scare of the unknown of I hope this works. I feel like you're picking up on some stuff. So something he's not doing or communicating is making you feel secure in the decision.
No, I've actually know he wants me to be out there. It's more of my concern is financially. Like,
I
don't want to go out there and then, like,
okay,
have
hear me
it.
Hear me again, because you called in. Just hear me again. Something that he's doing or not doing is making you insecure in the decision. It's not just you. You're still, see, this is the whole thing. The relationship right now is all predicated on you. You going out there, you making the change. You see, I listen, because part of my training as a therapist, I do what we call this resonance repatterning work. So I'm trained to listen to what we call the subtext. What is the person really saying? Because that's your higher self trying to get through to you. So your subtext, when you first called in, you didn't say, we are deciding. We are deciding that it's the best thing for me to move. And we've been looking. You didn't start with the we. You started with the I. So instinctively, what that's telling me, anytime a woman or, you know, has to say I, she doesn't feel either the guy is totally there, it's going to work. There's something, you know.
No, see, the reason I say I is because depending on people, and
you're not depending, but you're if you're going to be in a relationship with someone, it's a partnership. In other words, I have partners that I partner with, like my web design and just like my book covers and all that stuff. When I talk about projects, I don't say this person's helping with a project. I said we are doing this. We are working on my book cover right now. We are doing a new design. So all I want you to, I love you, just calm down. I'm not saying don't go or do go, but you have to figure this out for yourself.
No, I mean, like, I don't know what you're trying to say. Like, are you trying to say, like, I don't know what you're trying to say.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is you have to objectively, you have to remove yourself a bit from the situation and kind of look at how you operate in life and also how he operates in life before making this, or not. You'll find it out anyway, whatever way. But see, I can tell you psychically what the healthiest or the most life-enhancing thing to do is. But, you know, we have to sometimes go through our own learning on something to have the experience of it. So in light of that, what I would say is to pull back a bit. When you first called in, I said there's something to do with the finance on this, as well as values, principles, and beliefs. In other words, how do you operate in the world, and how does this person operate in the world, and how well does it mesh together? You know. So I feel before making that kind of decision, this kind of decision, you need to get to a quiet, calm place on this. And if you do decide to do this, find out how you could move more, not out of dependency. I'm not talking about dependency. I'm very independent, but I'm also dependent, because that's what a collaboration or a partnership is. It's interdependent. You have to figure out what does that look like for you before making this decision. Otherwise, I will tell you 5,000%, and you can call it won't work. If you don't get to that place before you do the move and find the way where you're feeling more stable or secure in your decision. And as you said, not from dependency, but from interdependency, you know. And take a few days or a week and re-listen to this part of the show again, the archive. Download it for iTunes or VTR. And I think you'll hear some things a little different.
Okay, so what you're basically saying is I have to step back and look at the relationship. Is that what you're saying? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, just
because
yeah,
the relationship itself is not a problem. Like, I feel secure in the relationship.
That's not what I'm
the
saying.
Problem is my moving financially. That's the biggest thing I have an issue with is financially.
Yeah. Re-listen to the show. I'm not saying the relationship.
Yeah.
I said that
yeah.
is how
yeah.
you know, how you partner. How you partner. Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Keep us posted. You know, one of my teachers told me sometimes people aren't ready to hear what they need to hear. I would suggest sometimes, and that's why emotionalism, that's why people, you can't do a reading personally on yourself or know what your true answer is, what's right for you, unless you get in a non-emotional state because it clouds it. So that's why it's great to have these recorded. So hope she keeps us posted. We'll see how that goes. Before our guest comes on, she'll be coming on in a few minutes here, I want to just touch on one of the dreams I said that we would get to earlier in the day. We had an email question come in about dreaming about bridges, many rooms and many bridges, and feeling that the email question was saying they felt like they were being locked out of the room, or some rooms were closed or locked and others were open. And I would say when you're analyzing a dream, look at and feel what is the main feeling there or feelings in the dream, or what are the emotions? How do you feel? Is there anxiety? Is there sadness? Is there hopefulness? Is there joy? And then also, what is the symbology? Bridging from one place to the next, going from either one experience in your life to another, or weaving two things together or three things together, maybe parts of your life. This person happens to also be transitioning in a career department. So those bridges could be how can you bridge where you are now? And maybe some things as far as the doors are closed right now. And are they locked? Do they need to be opened? Do they need to be revisited and gone to? Or are those capabilities or opportunities, are they closed for the now? And so anytime you're dreaming about, especially room or house, you're talking about your mind. You know, the basement is the subconscious. And then you've got the everyday living, which is where the living room is. You know, you're eliminating in the bathroom, releasing. You're getting your nourishment in the kitchen. So, again, when we're translating our dreams, look to the symbology. And some of the symbology will be quite common sense, really, will come from common sense in a sense. And then, you know, stairs, are you going into higher consciousness or more expanded realms of being? Are you going out of the ordinary, going into the extraordinary to bring it back into the ordinary? You know, there's a saying in the I Ching, is living the extraordinary in ordinary life. But the feeling is important, because the feelings in the dreams or the emotional state in the dream will tell you if you need healing or support in something, or is there fear around making a change, or is there a warning, like don't make the change too quickly? Not that it has to come from a macabre place, but again, it's that part of our consciousness or awareness. It's you know, a part of our psyche that is trying to help the ego make the best decisions and move forward. And many times, again, I'll say our dreams bring to us a form of healing. So if I didn't get to your calls, we always do readings and chat and dream interpretation, numerology, et cetera, at the beginning of the program. You can always call in, and then we always have our awakening conversation, which I always so enjoy. And this week we have with us Dr. Larry Little, who just sounds absolutely fascinating. He's the author of Healing Light, Energy Medicine of the Future. Dr. Larry Little is one of America's pioneers in the research and development of cold laser light technology for medical applications. As a lifelong student of healing sciences, Dr. Little received his first doctorate in 1964 in the field of dentistry and his second in the field of nutrition in 1979. A former low-level laser technology in 1994, started focusing on that. He also was the president of the International Academy of Nutrition and Preventative Medicine. His design advancements in handheld low-level laser devices resulted in the first ever FDA clearance for the use of light in the treatment of arthritis. Dr. Little is also trained as an educator, and you can find out more information by going to glaserspma.com. I want to welcome to the program Dr. Little. Welcome to the program.
Hello. I'm glad to be
Hello.
Here today.
Oh, I'm so glad for you to be here as well. I'm have had a life long, I think, interest in energy and energy medicine. I say long time interest in hearing about it, and I think on some level we don't really know what it is. So I'm going to open our discussion first with what is healing light, and in a sense, what is energy? Because we talk about energy medicine.
You had a really nice introduction. Two corrections. My name is pronounced Lytle, not Little, but that's all right.
Oh, Lytle. Thank you.
Lytle. And secondly, Lytle. I was past president of the Academy of Nutrition Preventive Medicine. That academy is now defunct.
Okay.
They're not operating.
You were the president. Yeah, okay.
I was past Lytle. President.
Okay. Lytle, okay.
Let's talk a little bit about...
Yeah.
Gee,
so what is...
Well, let me give you this story. I'm a Rotarian. At Rotary one day, we had an acupuncturist giving our Rotary program.
Okay.
He showed pictures of needles sticking out of some his patients all over the body. And when he got done, there was an old guy sitting next to me that ran a trucking firm. And he said, "Hey, young fella." He said, "What are you doing with those needles?" He said, "We're running energy." He said, "Well," he said, "I have a trucking firm, and he said, my diesel trucks run on energy. My gas trucks run on energy. My lawnmower runs on energy. I watched Kobe Bryant play basketball on TV last weekend, and he was full of energy. And I was at the Fine Arts Council down at the Civic Center, and that was a beautiful energy in that auditorium. What kind of energy are you using, young fella?" That's a pretty fair question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got books and books written on energy and energy medicine. None of them explain really what energy is.
That's right.
In order for you and your listeners to understand that, I'm going to take you back to the beginning. In the beginning, God saw the light and said, "That is good." Or from the darkness came the light. Those statements are in every culture in the world. They're in every language of the world in some form or the other, every religion, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, Christians. They all believe that we started from light. Then in order to understand energy, it has to come from light. There could be no other answer. And then well before Christianity, a couple of Greek scholars had an idea that everything in the universe with these squiggly waves of light, these photons, that these little squiggly waves of light were made up, everything had to be made up of atoms. And so everybody believes in atoms. They called it atomos way back then, but then Einstein came along and renamed it to atoms. But so let's take a look at your body. Your body is composed of trillions and trillions of cells and multiple, multiple, multiple trillions of atoms. So what is an atom? If you go back to your ninth grade or 10th grade or someplace in school, you learned that an atom was a positive charge and a negative charge. the positive charge, mm-hmm. the simplest of those atoms being hydrogen, the positive charge was very stable unless you had a hydrogen bomb or an atomic bomb, like we had at the end of World War II when we dropped them on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan.
Right.
But when you the positive charge is very stable. They're still trying to figure out how they might be able to harvest that energy safely in a what they call a collider over in Switzerland. But the other part of the atom, the electron, is very unstable. It's, mm-hmm. it bounces around, and nobody really knows why. The greatest physicists of all time, including Einstein and all of his predecessors and all the current physicists, none of them seem to know why the electron leaves the orbit around the proton. So mm-hmm. now let's take a look at what your body is composed of. If it's composed of atoms and you lose an electron, what does that leave you? That leaves you a positive charged ion. A positive mm-hmm. charged ion is acidic. All diseases, except some of the stomach and some of the vagina, are acidic.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of your listeners probably take antioxidants. They don't mm-hmm. want to rust out. So they're taking an antioxidant to stop oxidation. The only difference between oxidation and its opposite, reduction, is an electron. So when you lose the electron, you become acidic and you oxidize faster. You age faster. You die faster. The Q laser system I developed puts electrons back.
Mm.
On
so
the
see,
wave,
on
the wave of light, it puts electrons back into the body.
And does that then that corresponds to being more alkaline?
Sure, you can control acidity with the laser mm-hmm. because if the what acidity is loss of electrons. When you put them mm-hmm. back, you can take something, eat an alkalizing diet, but it's a lot easier to put electrons back with the Q laser than it is with an alkalizing diet.
Mm-hmm. So I want to just go back to something. You said light. So is energy and light, or would those be synonymous or not?
Yes. In fact, two years ago, I've lectured at the Academy of Laser Dentistry several years, and they had their 20th anniversary last year. And their 19th anniversary, I heard scholars, professors from Harvard and UCLA talking about the low-level laser. And the fact mm-hmm. that it put out energy. So last year at the 20th anniversary, I spoke for 30 minutes, what is energy? And energy mm-hmm. can be nothing other than movement of electrons. Franklin, mm-hmm. who discovered electricity, would better have called it electronicity, because it's a flow of electrons on a copper wire till it gets to the switch. And that switch becomes a blockage, and you stop the flow of electrons. Many of your listeners have blockages in the body that stop the flow of electrons, and therefore they're sick. And mm-hmm. in Orthodox medicine, they name these symptoms with different things. You know, it depends upon the symptom is what they try to diagnose the disease with, what symptoms are involved, and then they try to prescribe a drug that has nothing to do at all with the fact you're mm-hmm. deficient of electrons. Nothing to do. The drug only masks the symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wait, so let's go, Dr. Lytle, so let's go back to this. So you're saying that disease is it the slowing down or the and or the deficiency of the electrons? Is it also how they're responding, or is it being deficient in electrons?
Mostly it's deficient of electrons. Now, there are certain conditions, you know, that I said the greatest physicists did not know why we lost electrons, but we now know that voluntary surgery, mandatory surgery, accidents, disease caused by bacteria, viruses, and aging all cause electrons to leave the orbit. But when you ask the question, why doesn't everybody get the same disease? Why doesn't everybody age the same? And you come up to the fact that there are people that have a different ability to attract electrons. A yogi sitting on a high mountain in Tibet would not need my Q laser. They could manifest their own electrons from the universe. But in these
polluted
cities we have, there's too much electromagnetic contamination, and you can't get the electrons and use them like a yogi could.
So now let me just ask you that, like when you're bringing up the example of the yogi, is it because through meditation you're becoming more magnetic and those electrons are drawn in?
I meditate, and as I understand meditation, is shutting off your conscious mind. Most of your listeners can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
the
mean
hardest,
completely shutting it off.
Yeah, you shut it off and you let the subconscious take control. The subconscious knows what you need. But most people in orthodox medicine, they get something wrong, they rush to the doctor. That's what we've been trained to do for 110 years. If you got something wrong, go see your doctor. Insurance will pay for it, you know. And you go see the doctor, and the doctor does the best he can under the system he was trained in. The doctors are good people. They just have been trained incorrectly. If it weren't that, we would be able to see a different result in longevity in the United States. It doesn't matter whether you use the World Health Organization or you read the book Sickle. The United States is at the bottom of the longevity list in the world, of the industrialized world. So we're 50th now. Now, why is somebody number one and we're 50th in longevity? We're supposed to have the best system. We have more doctors per capita, more hospitals per capita. We have more diagnosis, laboratory tests per capita. We have more physical therapy per capita. We have more of everything per capita except length of life. Now,
why do you think that is?
Well, it's because the reason is twofold. One, fear drives electrons off. And the first time somebody gets an unexplained disorder or somebody misdiagnoses, a doctor might misdiagnose the disorder, then that disorder is manifested in the own person's conscious mind, and it drives electrons off so fast you can't get them back fast enough. Example, back when we had everybody was concerned about AIDS. I mean, the TV stations were full of it, so were the radio stations. And how would you like to have been one of those people that was diagnosed with AIDS and their diagnosis was incorrect? Those people are dead. They're dead only because of the diagnosis. The diagnosis killed them. And the fact that they did not know how to deal with the diagnosis. A yogi would go into meditation and say, you know, one of the things about the yogis is don't sweat the small things. And on the other hand, all things are small things. And so the problem in the United States is we have too much serious diagnosis, and they have no method of correcting those problems. Drugs are failing. Last night I watched Frontline, on pills that are not working, antibiotics that are not working against different types of bacteria that kill people. And they were almost, they closed several hospitals down because of an epidemic of bacteria that they couldn't even identify to start with that were causing people to die, and no antibiotic would work on it. They nearly closed down the National Institute of Health Hospital. They closed down all the wards but one. They closed that one ward off from the rest of the hospital, and they became in awe that even though they closed the ward off, practiced every type of contamination control, and later they found the same bacteria that they could not control in other parts of the hospital. And so they talked about antibiotics, and the drug companies are not trying to work in antibiotics anymore, because antibiotics, the founder of antibiotics made the statement, you know, use too much of these and you'll get a superbug that will not be controlled by the antibiotics. And he stated that when he developed his first antibiotic at the end of World War II. So the method we're treating things in the United States should be by vibrational medicine. We should be able to program in certain frequencies into the device and have the frequencies control the disorder. For example, if your listeners are online now, they can shut us off by just turning the radio off. They haven't shut the radio waves off. The waves are still in their room. They may not have had a window open or a door open, but those radio waves got into the room and the radio worked. If you change a radio station, like 101.1 is a Western station here in Rapid City, and if you put it to 101.2, it's staticky. 101.3, you get nothing. Now, when radios are that sensitive, you'd have to be really not thinking straightly to believe that everything on Earth has a vibration and that the vibration is very specific. A healthy dandelion has one vibration, one frequency. Vibration and frequencies, I use those terms interchangeable. And a sick dandelion has a different vibration or different frequency. A healthy heart, we know that from way back in the late 1800s. A healthy heart, you can measure the heart's rhythm with an electrocardiogram, EKG.
So is that what the EKG is doing? It's
measuring the frequency of the heart.
The frequency of the heart, okay.
Yeah. And when they find the frequency gets out of kilter or out of balance, they make diagnoses then. Rather than trying to put the correct frequency back into the heart, they start using drugs and surgery and bypass surgery and stents and whatever else they're doing. But if you take the brain and do EEG, electroencephalogram, that is the same thing, but of a different organ. It's the vibrations of the brain, or the Hertz. Hertz is spelled H-E-R-T-Z, abbreviated H-Z. And if you measure the Hertz of a brain, obviously if there's no Hertz, you're straight line, you're dead. But from 5/10 of a Hertz up to 4 Hertz, that is in the deep sleep or the delta brainwaves. When you go from delta to theta brainwaves, that's in sleep mode, but it's from 4 to 8. At the top of that, 7.8 hertz, is really the rapid eye movement or the place where you dream and you seem like you had a 2-week experience. You wake up, it's been 2 minutes. That also 7.83 hertz. Now you notice I said 7.83.
Yeah.
I didn't say 7.85. I said 7.83 hertz is the frequency of the universe. And when you match
what
frequency,
what is it again, Dr. Lytle?
7.83 hertz.
7.83. Okay.
Now that's right at the top of the theta brain waves. And then when you get on target, you strengthen a wave. If you look at a wave, let me make this example. It'll be easier for your listeners.
Okay.
I have a pool in front of me, a little kiddie pool, a wading pool. And it's like 6 or 8 feet apart across, and it's got about 6 or 8 inches of water. I drop a pebble in it the size of my thumb, and it's all the same surface tension and everything. That pebble is going to make waves, and it goes out to the side of the pool and dissipates. If I drop 2 pebbles the same size of my that are the same size, then you'll have twice the size of wave. That's called a complementary wave. Now, if you take a wave and drop a small pebble in the size of your into your thumb, and then you drop a huge big rock the size of your fist in the pool, the rock will overcome the waves of the little waves of the thumb. That's called a canceling wave. When would you like to cancel things? Obviously, we need to know the frequencies of these deadly bacteria that are killing people. And once we know those frequencies, we need to cancel the frequencies. Now, the laser device that I've made is a small handheld device, the size of the handset on my telephone here. Mm-hmm. And that will control, that has different wavelengths in it, and it has the ability to download different frequencies from a website that I have helped establish. Now, when you have a frequency and want a canceling frequency, you just take the instrument that I have, it's called the Q-Laser, and you go onto the website, plug it into your computer, and you download any frequency you want that will cancel the flu bug or cancel some other bug.
How do you know what those are? Do you have a list of the frequencies?
That's a good question. We're still studying that. And I don't have all the answers to the frequencies that cancel. If I did, I would immediately go to the National Institute of Health and tell them we can cancel MRSA because we have already done that. I have one of our distributors that has a video of using our Q-Laser system on a leg that was scuffed in a soccer game of a 16-year-old girl. In 3 days, she had the leg was all red and swelling up and all the way to her groin. They diagnosed it as MRSA. Now, MRSA is that serious bacteria that has closed schools down. They have no antibiotic that works on it. And it's so serious that it's killed many people. In three applications of the Q-Laser system, the MRSA was gone. I've got that all on video, all on tape.
Wow.
And the MRSA was gone because we accidentally had the right frequency that canceled it. Now, I don't know about the other serious bacteria that are causing problems, the KMX or KMR or whatever it is. I don't know what frequency they are. But frequency medicine has to be the medicine of the future. And so what we're asking all of our laser users to do is to go on the website, www.laserfrequency.com, and it doesn't work with if you don't have a Q-Laser system. So you have to have a Q-Laser, and then go in there and do their own research. I have XYZ symptoms, and if I apply this frequency, they're gone in 1 day. And if I apply this frequency, they don't go away. So we're asking our users to help us with research because I don't know all the answers. I probably know more about low-level lasers than anybody in the United States, but I don't know the answers. Frequencies work.
I just want to interject here just really quickly. So I have a question, actually the email question that came in, but I'll get to that in a minute. But just so people, what is the actual website that people can go to get the information or to get the laser?
The quickest way you can get information is actually by a phone number, and that is 866-434-5959, and you plug in code 8391, and you will get a packet sent out to you immediately explaining what I'm talking about. If you want to email that, you can go to radio@qlasers.com, radio@qlasers.com. If you want to go to a website, you may go to www.qlaserspma.com. Now, that is a private membership association website, and there's reasons for that, and they're all legal reasons. You can read the first five pages, but if you want to read all of my work, you have to go inside and become a private member. I can talk to private members openly. I can't talk to the public other than what we do in general.
Right. Okay, so one question is that we had, because you spoke about the EKG is measuring the frequencies of the heart, and obviously if there's certain too dissonant, that you have some kind of condition. Why then, if conventional medicine is recognizing that for the heart, why is there not more treatment using the idea, the concept of frequencies.
There's no money in frequencies. That's pretty simple.
Ah, okay.
Money comes in surgery and drugs. Diagnosis, surgery, mm-hmm. and drugs. No money in frequencies. Once you know the frequency and you can apply it with the Q laser, there's no reason to go to the doctor. I haven't been to the doctor only once in 45 years.
Wow,
anything.
I love this. Wow.
And I had a ruptured Achilles tendon, had that sewed back together. I had a torn shoulder, had that sewed back together, and those are the only two times I've been to the doctor in my life.
Mm. So with the
By the way,
two
I'm going on 79, so I'm not
Yay,
not just a young I've got all those things to come on.
So I just find this fascinating. I don't know why. I've always been fascinated with light as a little kid and energy and noticing energy. You know, why is something more energetic or more vibrant, whether it's people or plant or places, which to me, energy connotates, it's life force, it's vitality. You know, they even call it energy, that life force, animating energy. It's how much animation is there, how much life is there, how, you know, alive is something. So going back to something you said earlier that I want to just get clear. So is light a form of energy or are light and energy the same thing?
Same thing. They're the same
okay.
thing. And, you know, there are certain wavelengths of light that are harmful. You know, and the sun has different wavelengths of
okay.
light that we know to be harmful. That's why we have different protective, skin protective creams. Because they're the 386 nanometers is a cancer-causing wavelength, and so there are wavelengths that you shouldn't be using on the body, but there are
mm-hmm.
other wavelengths that carry important information like electrons back to the body. We found
mm-hmm.
that my work. We found that one laser cannot do it all. That's why I've created a laser system. And the laser system is involved. We have seven different wavelengths in our Q1000 laser, and we have, by bringing those wavelengths together, we form a different wave. And that wave, I've named it the Soliton wave after the wave discovered many years ago at the end of the 18th century when they were pulling a barge through a canal in Scotland, and the rope broke and the barge took a big nosedive and big waves went out the front of the barge and out the rear. The guy got on his saddle horse and chased the waves out to the front and realized when they went into the ocean, he wondered where they went. And they were absorbed into the ocean water. Today, we know that's called the Soliton wave, and that wave is the wave whales communicate on thousands of miles apart. Whales and porpoises, they have their communication system, and it's on the Soliton wave that's in the water. It never goes away. Water has memory, and that wave never goes away. It's been estimated that the Soliton wave will go around the world twice without and penetrate right through everything it is in its way, walls, glass, doesn't have to have a door to go through. And so our laser produces a Soliton wave, and on that Soliton wave, it has the ability to attract and carry electrons. And when it carries the electrons, you can't get too many because the body says, I don't need any today. And they just go on by. And so it's a very safe instrument. The device is registered as a Class 1 device with the FDA, which is the same
class
as a barcode checkout at your grocery store. We're using it differently is all. And we got a big computer in it that tells us things that other laser companies will never find out, because we are more of a computer company than we are a laser company. We use light to carry the information. And what information we want is the information that restores the cell back to health, not to kill the symptom like drugs do.
But to restore
but
the health. So,
cell back
Dr.
to
Lytle,
health.
Let me ask you then. So is the Q laser also the Q1000, or are those different?
We have a Q laser system, and the base unit is the Q1000.
Okay.
And we've got many, Q1000 We started with that model, and we had the Q1000NG, which new generation, and now we have the Q1000NG Plus. I just returned from a meeting in Washington, D.C., where we were presenting the Q-Laser system as a solution for traumatic brain injury or post-traumatic stress disorder, or for athletes, it's called traumatic brain encephalopathy. If those are all of those conditions are due to a slam of the head, it is 13 pounds of weight on top of a very spindly neck, and anytime you get that head whipped, it's called a whiplash.
Yeah, I had it 2 years ago, recovering.
Well, if you did, had it correct, right, then the muscles in the neck are still tight. And when you have tight muscles in the neck, then you reduce blood flow to the brain. You can't, if you use this example, put a blood pressure cuff around your arm, pump it up, and your hand gets no blood. In essence, people that have had whiplashes have a blood pressure cuff around their neck, called the tight dental muscles. And these tight muscles will constrict blood flow to the brain. And if you constrict blood flow to the brain suffers, and that's called traumatic stress disorder. It must be handled immediately. I have a granddaughter who plays rugby on the professional team that we hope will be in the Pan Am Games in France next year. She's had three concussions. She carries her laser with her at all times. And she goes, when she gets her brain's rattled or gets dizzy, lightheaded, because rugby is a tough game. They don't have helmets or anything. And so to the sideline, she carries her laser with her every place she goes. She lasers her head, and she in turn gets all types of scans, and they never have found any swelling or injury of her brain. Contrary to that, her opponent on her team, a lady on the other team died because of a similar thing. Mm-hmm. And if you disrupt
I have a question here. What
blood flow? You're going to die.
Right. Okay. We have a little delay here. So with a pure laser, would people just use this for general maintenance, or how would you know? That's one question. And then second part is, how would you know what to use it for, like, for instance, arthritis or other conditions? Does it just pick it up, or is there a way to adjust the frequency range?
Those are both good questions. One, I have written a manual called Low-Level Laser Application Guide, and when you buy that manual, it'll tell you where to point it, how long to use it. You have to buy that manual because the FDA doesn't like us to give it away with the instrument. So you have to buy it, but the person that sells you the laser will tell you where to get it. Once you buy that manual, any lay person that can read at the 7th or 8th grade level can use the laser at their own home, in their own bedroom, at the convenience of themselves. Anybody that can read at the 8th grade level can use the instrument. This is not designed for medical doctors to use.
Okay. So
now, medical doctors do use it. Those that are preventive-oriented, many of them use it because it gets results so quickly. On chiropractic work, we have lots of chiropractors that can control your back pain in 3 to 5 minutes with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Lytle, there's a question from Charles in the chat. Has Dr. Lytle found any uses for gamma frequencies around 40 hertz?
Yes, we have. In fact, we found quite a few frequencies for gamma, but that is actually just in low gamma. When I get into the rest of the frequencies, I only got through to 4 to 8 hertz is theta. Where we're in now is beta. That's 12 to 26, and then you get into gamma. And you can get into gamma, and it goes all the way up to what I call super gamma. And if you get to 60 hertz, you can elevate your own frequency. Some can do that. To 60 hertz, you can walk in and turn off every radio in the room just with canceling the hertz. That's what I want to do with the symptoms of disease. I want to cancel them just like you would cancel a radio with 60 hertz. And you could, one of my teachers, his name was Jack Schwartz. Jack was a Hollander, and he was imprisoned in the beginning of World War II, and he was in Auschwitz, and he finally got out of Auschwitz because they weren't able to kill him. They beat him, bust him, break his arm, break his teeth, and break his jawbone, and he would just go back to his cell, go into a state of meditation, get out of his body, if you so to speak, and I heard you speaking earlier, you know what I'm talking about, and get out of his body, and he would go back the next day totally healed. That means without any of the drugs or the he would heal his broken bones overnight. And I saw Jack. His body's deceased now, but I studied with Jack. One reading, he could shove a sharp object, a big needle through his arm, and hook it out to the other side and pull it out and control the bleeding. And one time of 300 psychiatrists, they said, well, can you make that bleed? And he said, oh, I suppose so. And the blood just shot out of it. And then he turned around and went back into the frequency that stopped it, and the bleeding just stopped instantly. So Jack Schwartz was well ahead of his time. His body's deceased now. I have the right to use all of his work, and I'm so grateful to him for giving me that work before his body passed. And actually, I believe differently. I believe I'm still getting some signals from Jack.
Oh, I'm sure of it. It's fascinating. Do you think we could ever get to that place, you know, individually? Do you think, evolving to that ability?
Well, individually, you're going to have to stop thinking like medicine has taught you to think, or you won't get there. I mean, you can't be bombarded with diagnosis and say, well, I don't know what's wrong with you, but it looks to be serious. I'm going to have to refer you to another specialist and another one, another one. Let me explain that with this story. My niece is a minister. I went to her church. She has a different kind of a church. And I went to her church and gave not a sermon, but a talk. And after the talk, my niece asked me, is that laser any good for fibromyalgia? I said, it works on the cell level, so it should be good for fibromyalgia. Well, why do you ask? She said, my son's wife has that. And so the next week, the son called me and he said, Mom got it wrong. She doesn't have fibromyalgia. After all, we took her to another doctor, and she has acute rheumatoid arthritis. Is it any good for that? And I said, well, the laser works at the cell level, the atomic level of the cell, so it should work for whatever you name those set of symptoms. And he said, how much is it? And we haven't changed the price of the laser much in a long time. For those listeners, you can have a laser in your own hands for probably less than you spend on your copay on your drugs, or less than you pay on over-the-counter drugs or vitamins. And that's, I classify it as around $250 to $350 a month. And you can own your own laser device and use it at home at your own, wherever you need to use it, whenever you need to use it. And you
I think I might
about,
get one of these.
Use it for prevention? Absolutely. I've got a whole section in my books on prevention. Why wait till you get sick?
That's
you should
right.
use
now,
it.
Dr. Lytle? Unfortunately, no, we're out of time, but I want to extend an invite to come back because there's so many questions. I have more questions, and we've got more, email questions in. So want to extend an invite. The producer will contact you. But just in closing, I want to let people know that in Atlanta, that passed already. Do you have any workshops that are coming up?
I'm coming back to Atlanta in I think it's January. I'm coming there in connection with the Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, and I believe we're going to put on a workshop then. But if you want to know that, you call the sponsor of me on this program is QLasersPMA.com, and the manager of that, her name is Lisa, and you can reach her at 05-791-6060. And you can ask her about that the seminars in Atlanta. I just tell people to work for her.
Okay.
But,
great. Great. All right.
But if you have, if you ever want me to be on your, there's so much. I have enough material to teach 3 or 4 college courses.
Got to get you back.
Want to learn more about it? Just Lisa and schedule me in.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much for being on the program, Dr. Lytle. Thank you. So appreciate you taking time out of your schedule.
And good day.
Thank you. Okay, our guest was Dr. Larry Lytle. You can find out more information on the Cue Laser by calling 866-434-5959. Press 8391 on the keypad. That's 8391. That number is 866-434-5959. Press pound 8391, or you can also go to radio at QLasers.com, and then also a website, QLasersPMA.com. That's QLasersPMA.com as well. Thanks, everyone, for being with us. Love you all so much. I love our Wednesdays together, and as always, every Wednesday from 12 to about 12:45, 12:50, we have questions or comments, and then the second half of the program is Awakening Conversations with our guests. And of course, you can always call in for questions with our guests as well. Questions, comments, guest suggestions, topic suggestions, email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com for the solar newsletter. Keep up on workshops and things that are happening. You can also email awakeningsradio@gmail.com. And, of course, join us on the Awakenings Radio page on Facebook. Until next week, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awakening conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.